Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Cherub CDH Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is your host, Dawn Ireland, president of Cherubs. And today we are talking to Brandy Hawkins, who is the mom of Cherub Liam Hawkins, and she'll be on in just a minute. He will be our featured cherub for the week of January 22nd, 2017. And while we're waiting for Brandy to call in, I want to talk to you a little bit about something that we do every year, and that is we lobby in D.C. for CDH Awareness Month, which is April of every month, and also for research funding for these kids. So you can join us in D.C. This year we'll be there in March on the 27th and the 28th. You can go to our Facebook page and find out more information, how to register. It doesn't cost you anything to participate, just your travel costs there. And we have done some phenomenal work in D.C. the past 5 years, raising awareness for these kids and getting proclamations passed in the Senate and introduced in the House and some money in for these babies, hopefully soon. So Brandy just called in. Let's grab her over.
Hi,
Brandy. Are you there?
I am.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. So we are on the air now. So welcome to our podcast radio here. We are really excited to have you. And I'm just going to ask you some questions about your journey and Liam's story, if you don't mind. So
okay.
Tell me first about yourself. What was like life before CDH?
Life was wonderful. I always dreamed to be a mom. It was something I feel like I was meant to do. I love children. I had babies on my hip from 10 years old. You know, my little sister's 9 years younger than me, so she wanted me instead of mama. So it just,
aww.
And then I married my high school sweetheart, and we wanted our own family.
Wow. I've seen you and Koi together, and you are just the absolute cutest couple in the world. You guys are such a good match. So you first heard about CDH when? Do you remember the exact date, or tell me about that?
It was in October, and they originally thought my OB knew nothing about CDH. She didn't know what CDH was. So when she thought something was wrong with Liam's heart. They originally thought that one of the chambers in his heart wasn't working properly. So she sent me to a specialist. I live in a really small town, so the closest doctor that really knew anything was an hour drive away. So we went to the specialist about 2 weeks later, and I had a long, extensive ultrasound, and he came in and told me, you know, what we already knew was wrong with Liam. Like, he had cleft feet and a cleft palate, and then he was like, what about his CDH? And I said, what is CDH? And that's when the specialist went on to tell us what it was and kind of showed us in the ultrasound, too.
Did they give you information? Did you guys go home and Google? What did you, I mean, I know you're in shock after learning all that, but how did you deal with it? How did you prepare?
He basically told us the basics. He told us that, you know, Liam had a hole in his diaphragm and he really couldn't see how large it is, that I would have to have an MRI for that. And he told us that, you know, he could tell that there was stuff up in his chest, and that's why they originally thought that something was wrong with his heart, because it was pushed over to the side. And he kind of warned us not to Google anything, but being a parent and hearing such shocking news, of course we went home and Googled it. And that's when we found cherubs, just Googling it. And I think cherubs is one of the first things that pops up when you punch in CDH.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad you didn't listen to that doctor, and that's not something I normally say, but I wish they wouldn't tell parents that, because CDH is so hard. Going with it alone is just, it's so much harder. So now you are a young couple, newly diagnosed with all these big terms, about to be thrown into a world that you didn't even know existed. What was the rest of your pregnancy like? How did you prepare for his birth?
Well, after my specialist appointment, things kind of moved along quicker. Doctor's appointments every week, and just, but I, you know, you think CDH is the worst it could get, you know, and I had my MRI, and they told, the doctor that I talked to, she was so negative about it. She said Liam's case was really bad, that she said he had like 20% lung growth, and we already, like I said, we searched on the internet, so we knew what could happen. We knew our odds. And so Coy and I were kind of just upbeat about it. You know, we were like, our son, he's going to fight, and we're going to fight for him. And she was really shocked by our how strong we were. Her exact words were, she was shocked how strong we were. And I, you know, we thought, this is, you know, it don't matter what the odds are. It's just really up to God. And we were going forward. I was ready to set up a nursery, and I just passed my 28-week mark, and my water broke. So, like I said, I come from a small town, so I had, of course, I had to go to the local hospital, and they care flighted me to the nearest hospital with ECMO, which was about an hour and a half away. They really thought I was going to give birth to Liam then, but luckily with all the medicines and stuff, I didn't. They gave me steroids in the hospital in hopes of helping his lungs. After they realized I wasn't in active labor, I spent 6 weeks in the hospital in a bed, hoping that Liam wouldn't come early. My husband would drive back and forth from work, and he spent every night with me in the hospital. He was, I don't know how I would have done it without him. He was right there beside me. And I remember on Christmas, I went into labor again, and they had to come in and give me fluids and stop my labor. It was always scary. Not, you know, is today going to be the day that he comes? He's not ready. He's not ready. He don't have what he needs yet. What else can I do? Those things go through your head. And January 24th, he decided, I'm coming, Mom, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. He came into the world at 3:48. And I never heard a sound. I remember laying there because I had to have a C-section because my water being broke. I had no fluid. And I laid there, and, you know, they tell you from the beginning that they have to rush them down to the NICU. They got to be intubated. They whisk them away. And they weren't whisking Liam away like they were supposed to. And I knew something was wrong. And I later found out that they were about to give up trying to intubate him. He was so bad. And the doctor said he was going to try one more time. Luckily, on that one last time, he got him, and he said that he'd be surprised if Liam would live 15 minutes. I got wheeled into recovery, and I had to wait 2 hours to see him. And I got down there to the NICU room, and I saw my son hooked up to all these tubes and this machine that made this god-awful noise breathing for him. And they, you know, they let me touch him, and they they come in and they were talking about, they tried not to say a lot to me. I guess they were worried to make me upset, but I could kind of hear the doctors talking, and they were talking about needing to do another x-ray. And then another doctor walked in and said, there's no need. And Liam had a, I'm sorry, I don't know what it's called.
No.
But he had a hole in his lungs. And so they weren't doing, he was premature, and he was born at 34 weeks, and him being so small and his CDH, the odds were just against him. And they let me hold him. And they let me hold him for a little while. My husband got to hold him for a little while. And then watching them unhook your child, it's such a horrible feeling.
It is.
And they unhooked him and they wheeled me up to my room. And Liam lived 20 minutes after they unhooked him. And I watched him grow his wings in his daddy's arms. And that was it.
But what an amazing little guy to make it through preterm labor and broken waters and bed rest for all those weeks and to get intubated and hold on long enough to have time in both your arms. That's really amazing, Brandy. He's quite a little angel. I mean, that's wow. But, meeting you and Coy, that doesn't surprise me one bit. Because I see how much fight both his parents have in them. So we've uploaded the three pictures that you sent to me of you guys. And, it ripped my heart out to look at them. But that's CDH. That's what this does to families. And no family should ever take their first and their last pictures at the same time. It's not fair. And before you came online, I was telling everyone a little bit about D.C., and you're there every year. And I know this will be the first year that you guys are missing it, and that's okay. That happens. You're all the way in Texas. That's a long way to come. But you've been there every other year, and you've been his voice, and you told his story repeatedly over and over, and I know it's so hard to do. Especially when you're face-to-face with a stranger and you feel like you've got so much responsibility, but you do it, and you guys do it so well, and if I saw a chair that lives on through the actions of his parents, it's you guys. You both do an amazing job. And
well, thank you.
Very proud to know you both. Now, I know this is an odd question, but do you have advice for other parents to make it through that time and the grief after? Because when you lose your child, it's awful. I mean, there's no words in the English language to describe what it's like to lose your child. I mean, that's the worst thing that can happen to a human on earth. And then to go through the funeral, you think it can't get any worse, and then everyone goes home, and their lives go on, and you're trying to rebuild, especially when it's your first child, your only child, and I know, because, same for me, and it's so hard. And do you have any words, anything you would like to tell a parent who is just starting on that journey?
Dawn, I would say, I know that feeling of like you're alone and there's nobody that understands how you feel, but there is. There's people that understand. I have so many people that I've met that their children have been affected by CDH, not just non-survivors, but survivors. People that I call my dearest friends, and even with the survivors, I hold their children so close to my heart, because really and truly they're living the same nightmare we are. And I just think for a new family that is starting out and just finding out about CDH, don't feel like you're alone. Reach out to the people that are there, and because there's so many people that reach out and want to help you. Just take it. And I know some people think, oh, no, I don't want people all to know all my business. I don't want them to, you know, do it. You need it. Let them help you carry the weight.
That's great advice. That's really good advice. I 1,000% agree with you. Is there anyone that you met in the hospital, a doctor or a nurse or x-ray tech or respiratory therapist or the OB person or, you know, a custodian, someone that did or said something to you in the hospital that made it a little bit easier, that reached out to you and hugged you when you needed it or bought you a blanket when you needed it, or just someone that made a difference? And I ask because, you know, doctors and nurses listen to this too, and we want them to know what that means to us when people take the time to do that, and we're not just patients and patients' parents. Can you think of anything?
I delivered at Medical City in Dallas, and I've been 6 weeks in the hospital. You don't just go to a regular room. They have a wing that's called postpartum. And they were telling me I was approaching one of the longest people they've ever had on their hallway. And all the girls up there, the nurses, were so wonderful. They would bring me cupcakes and just tell me how they were there for me. And with my husband being gone to work and I had to sit in the room most of the day by myself, they would come in and just talk to me and tell me, you know, stories about their own life and children in their life, and just help me not sit there and be alone so much. And I don't know what I would have done without all them girls on that floor. They're just so wonderful.
Oh, that's good to hear. I'm really glad that they were there for you. Well, is there anything else that you would like to share? Anything else you would like to say or, you know, anything at all?
You know, Dawn, I would like to throw out there that CDH is not just a diagnosis. But it goes on to affect you your whole life. I remember after I had Liam, you don't get that experience that you expect as a parent to, you know, you go back to your room and you hold your baby and your family comes in and takes all the pictures and you go home 2 days later with your baby. Some parents, you know, they don't even get the long NICU stay. And for me, I got wheeled to a floor that the other baby, they didn't want to put me on the same floor with the moms who just delivered. And I got a white bow on my door so that way, warning the nurses that my baby passed away and nobody would come in and ask me where my baby is. And, you know, and you get the struggle of, you know, people asking you, how many kids do you have? And then they, you know, if you tell them, oh, I have one, and then they want to know their age, and they want to, and that leads to more questions. And then there's the struggle of, I want to have more children, but I'm scared to death I'm going to have another baby with CDH because I've seen it happen. And I just don't want the same outcome that I had with Liam. And it's just, CDH is so much more than just a diagnosis.
It is. It's our lives. Once you get diagnosed, it's kind of clouds everything. But that doesn't mean that you can't build a new life even with that cloud, and you can't find happiness and joy and a new way to live, because you absolutely can.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, because we can't let it win, you know? We can fear everything for the rest of our lives, and then CDH will take everything. And you're just as stubborn as I am, and I know you're not going to let that happen.
Yeah. Dawn, I believe
that.
It doesn't
mean it's easy.
Yeah, I believe that, and it's took me 2 years to come this far, and I know moms who struggle so much more than I do, but I believe that one day God will let Liam pick out the perfect sibling for him, however he chooses to bring that into my life.
I believe that.
I really believe that.
I do. I do too. And I cannot wait to get a newborn baby photo when that day happens. Well, sweetie, I thank you for everything, for sharing your story here with us, for going to D.C. with us, for all the support that you give so many families, and I watch you do it, even if I'm staying silent in the background. I see how much you love on these kids and these parents, and it means a lot to them. It means a lot to me to see you do that, because that's why we're all here, and I thank you for that, and I think that's it, and thank you for sharing your sweet lamb with us.
All right, Dawn, thank you for having me, and thank you for everything you do. I know you're a busy lady.
Oh, well, it's for a good cause. You know, we're going to fight CDH together. All right,
yes,
I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Bye. Bye.